This is Real Estate Journeys, episode 103.
This really is more of a team sport. And more people I met that you want to network with individuals, understand their expertise and learn from them and also share your value so that you can create these partnerships and teams to actually successfully move forward, because you only can go so far on your own dollar.
Welcome to Real Estate Journeys, here to help you build your cash-flowing real estate empire that you've been dreaming of. This is about real estate investors who have escaped the soul-crushing 9-to-5 rat race by taking action, leveraging relationships, and gaining the financial independence. It's time to stop making excuses and get the insight and knowledge you need to become a successful real estate investor. This is your host, Matthew Baltzell.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Matty B, aka Matthew Baltzell. Welcome back to Real Estate Journeys, the exclusive podcast for real estate investors looking to scale to 100 units and live that location independent lifestyle. So guys, on today's episode, we're having a little bit of a different twist and a very interesting twist here for you. So today's guest, his name is Paul, and Paul and I, we have connected through the grapevine and through the podcast, and Paul actually has not been invested in any of my deals, but he has been invested in other active real estate deals, and I wanted to bring him on and basically show you a different perspective of what real estate investors are looking for as far as when they are looking for deals and partnerships and how they kind of start getting into the industry. Because when I first started talking to Paul, he didn't really know what he wanted. He's trying to get in. He's kind of trying to network. And he kind of, you know, started parlaying some things and started, you know, basically scaling up. And now he's invested in some deals. He's trying to get in active on the general partner side of other deals. So he's actually really killing it. And he's a great guy. So with all that said, Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Matthew. Appreciate you having me. Looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah, for sure. I'm glad to have you. So Paul, you know, like I said, you have been trying to get into deals and now you are getting into deals. But before we jump into this, let's give everybody a little bit of a context. So what's the 20-year-old Paul like? What was the 20-year-old Paul like?
Right. Well, that's many moons ago. But, you know, the 20-year-old was a three-job kind of guy, putting himself through school at night, trying to pay for his education, and really pushing the envelope in that regard, trying to figure out who we wanted to be. I mean, so I joined the Navy. I went to college. I then detoured and decided I wanted to go into accounting. Somehow, started working in the corporate world. I took an opportunity in New York City and started working with a big top four accounting firm. Realized after a couple of years, I really didn't want to do that. But was focused on the insurance industry and moved into that realm, where I've been spent most of my career. I really enjoy education and the part-time aspect of it. And then within the last 5-10 years, I went back and got my MBAs through in financial management. With always in mind's eye on real estate. I first invested in real estate when the Great Recession was just about to happen in 2008. I bought at the High Point, my first place in Sarasota. It was a 3-bedroom, 2-bath townhome, and I really didn't know much. And I actually partnered in with two fellow colleagues at my company, and then the market crashed. We realized that our value of our property was significantly lower, and we decided to stay the long term. We did have a tenant, and we were able to ride that wave over many years, breaking even most years, but still paying down the equity. And we finally actually got out of that property in 2017. Working full time in the city, with a family at home, girls going to college. I had a little bit more time on my hand and started to the market's going great. Everything's looking, I have a little bit more money and I'm looking at deals again. But this time, I don't have to tell you, Matthew, the deals are really hard to find. I mean, I didn't have a network. I didn't have a connection. I didn't have off-market deals to contend with. So I was just Mr. MLS, and I must have analyzed 100, 150 deals. But then I finally came across another home in Sarasota. Again, I didn't state this, but the reason that we like Sarasota so much is living in New York, it's very expensive to buy here. Mm-hmm. Also, the rental laws aren't as favorable here. My colleague happened to relocate to Sarasota, so we had boots on the ground down there. And we moved onto that property. And what we learned over those 5-10 years from the first property to now was just an amazing amount of knowledge that we actually bought a property that is cash flowing. So we bought that, and I think it's cash flowing at like 8-10%. We have a great tenant in there. We have a great property, and we're really happy with that. However, I realized quickly, shortly after that, that and it's self-managed, that I didn't want to really get into the management business of, or single family homes and having, and I started to learn about the multifamily industry and all of the synergies there. I mean, and I really, I loved all the things I learned about that. So I started to look into, you know, the diversification potential of my portfolio from stocks to real estate. I started to look into the economies of scale in the multifamily home. And I started to just really start to navigate to that realm.
How did you go about start educating yourself? So you started with Sarasota, you're kind of building up, you're starting to where you want to allocate your capital. How did you go about really educating yourself within the next step for real estate? Did you start reading books? Did you start going to meetups? What did you start doing?
So I didn't find meetups until a little later, but I mean, I knew they were there. So living on Long Island, commuting into Manhattan, you have literally an hour and a half each way of time. So it was either reading books, but mostly, podcasts were really growing at that time. And I really was getting into those. And there's tons of information on those. And just over time, you were able just to hone in. And I just kept dabbling and learning about what other people were doing. And it just started interesting me, whether it was bigger pockets and learning about the single family homes and then moving into the education. What really made sense to me is the economy of scale and the ability to scale quickly. That really resonated with me. So it was books and podcasts.
For sure. And now when you're starting to educate yourself, and are you foreseeing yourself as like, you want to be an operator? Did you know if you want to raise capital? Did you want to be on the limited partner side? When you're acquiring all this knowledge, where did you see yourself within that spectrum?
Right. So I was really thinking, how can I do this by myself? Right. So that's what my first thought was, okay, multifamily home. I learned that, duplex is a multifamily home. So I was thinking of just graduating and start learning about the 1031 exchange. And how can I go from there and keep over time, growing from that perspective. Then I realized quickly that, this really is more of a team sport. And the more and more people I met, that you want to network with individuals, understand their expertise and learn from them and also share your value so that you can create these partnerships and teams to actually successfully move forward. Because you only can go so far on your own dollar. So I started going on that path. And then it just pushed me over to the limited partner role because I realized I was working full time. I didn't really have the time to be a full time syndicator. And I started investigating that role.
Mm-hmm. So once you start with the education, you start learning more. How did you go about now sourcing and finding deals that you possibly would want to invest in?
That's a fair question. So, within the last year, after I bought the property in Sarasota, April of 2019, I just started to just reinvigorate my process and just make that extra effort. I started going to local meetups and meeting people. And I realized quickly that there was a lot of people who actually did invest, outside of New York. And then I started listening to those podcasts and started, I reached out to a couple of them, including yourself, the ones that really resonated with me and, their approaches to how they could get there. So I started to go down that path of trying to understand exactly, there's more than one way to actually invest in the multifamily industry.
Yeah, for sure. And, I think it's very important because a lot of people think, you know, when they hear all this, I got 3,500 units, I got 4,000 units, and they like, you know, I don't really, you know where to start, right? Where do I start? Where do I begin? And people don't think as much as like the limited partnership side, right? They think, okay, I want to be the big guy. I want to be the sponsor. And I know a lot of people that have started out as LPs just to kind of get their foot in the door, see how the process goes, see how the, you know, the sponsor deals with limited partners, see how much work really goes on within the deal. And I always tell people, like, even if you decide you want to be an LP only, and you only want to be an LP, like, that's completely fine. Like, you know, make your money where you can, and you, it's a lot less stress, right? So with all that said, let's go now to the deal, your first limited partnership that you are actively invested in. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how you actually found that deal?
Sure. So I like I said, I started networking, and I'm, you know, I was a little apprehensive because, you know, you're investing in someone else's business that, you know, that you really don't know that well. And so I was always apprehensive to actually invest in something that I really couldn't see, touch, feel. Mm-hmm. So the combination of the two introduced me to others who have taken that step, got me comfortable with it. And I saw a few presentations. I looked at, I analyzed a few deals. I got some people's perspectives on what to look for in the deals. One of the sponsors who was doing a presentation was a local guy. He lives only like literally 2 miles from me. I didn't even know this. And what really pushed me over the wall to take action was the fact that I could just meet with him, talk with him. He asked me to have a cup of coffee. I loved that he was open to any question I had. So that environment really made me comfortable to make the next step and really consider investing in his deal. He also had,
What about him? I'm thinking for people that are listening to this, right? You know, and they might be in a similar situation to you. They might be reaching out to other sponsors. You know, he answered all your questions. Did you have any specific questions, or what were you looking for within a deal that he may have said that helped put you at ease? Was there anything that you were, you know, really looking for as far as like investment criteria, or was he just completely open and honest, and with that transparency and being able to meet him, you felt comfortable?
It was all of that. But I mean, it really came down to looking him in the eye. Seeing how he responded. I'm a big field person. I wanted to see his track record. I love the fact that he has an online presence, so I could do a little due diligence on the side. I was able to see somebody. He's somewhat active on podcasts as well, so I was able to hear him, not just trying to sell me, so to speak, but you know, to actually, you know, see how much he actually is known, where he started, hear his story, get to know him on that angle too. And also then the cross-references were huge for me as well. I mean, the other people I networked with, they also invested with him and his team, and there was that referral process that I really, so those three things, it was really the integrity, the track record, and the referrals.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, especially nowadays, with COVID and everything happening, you know, vetting the sponsor is like, I would say probably the most important thing, because anybody can come up with a business plan. I mean, if you've listened to podcasts for long enough and maybe bought a relative course or something along these lines, you could probably drum up a thing saying like, hey, these are my projections, blah, 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 right? But it's a matter of like executing on the plan. And if somebody has, you know, established himself with a track record and they have online and they have the proper team around you, and you know, like, hey, he's looking you in the eye and he's a straight shooter, you know, that's obviously going to make you you know, feel more at ease. And I think a good thing about sponsors, and it sounds like this gentleman or female, you know, they really put your mind at ease and they're not very pushy, you know, and that's the way it should be.
Right.
It shouldn't be like, you need to get in this deal, blah, blah, blah. And the thing I also like to say is like, it's a two-way street, right? Like, you're vetting the sponsor, but the sponsor is also vetting you, right? I think people get that confused too, is because like, I don't want to get in a deal with Paul if Paul's like, hey, I have $101,000 and I'm willing to give you $100,000. right? Like if COVID-19 happens, that guy's going to be calling me every day. You know, he's going to be like, what's going on? Like, give me an update. And you're going to be like, listen, I could have taken, you know, Joe Smith's money for $100,000. He's a doctor. He's great. He's another investor. But like, I don't know. I put this guy in the deal. Now I have this headache. So
yeah,
it's a give and take relationship, right? And so, you know, I think, you know, start vetting people early, right? And you have this relationship and you want to develop this relationship. And I don't know how many times you met with this gentleman before you invested within his deal. But, you know, it's like, it's a give and take. So, hey, sit down, let's have a cup of coffee. Maybe he sends you a deal. Maybe you don't like a deal. Maybe you see another one. And then maybe a year down the road, maybe 2 years down the road, who knows? Maybe you never invest within the deal. Or maybe use him as a source to help parlay that into something else. So I want to ask, when you are now looking, so now you're in the limited partnership side and you're going to be looking at future deals, is there anything as far as you on the limited partnership are looking for as far as returns, or is there anything now that you've kind of more privy and you've been in a deal, is there anything that would show up as like a red flag if you came across another deal and you're like, you know, they're investing in New York. These guys are amateurs. They're not going to get returns. Or is there anything that you would say as a red flag? One, red flag. And two, is there something that you're really looking for? Is like that when you see it, you're like, ooh, I really like this.
I agree with that area over property mentality you just had there. And I definitely, part of, I guess, the benefit of researching and for such a long time on those 150 deals I mentioned in the multifamily home, I also explored other areas. I mean, there are other areas of Florida, other areas of South Carolina, and you start to learn and people start to point you to the areas that have to see the best cost of living, where the jobs are going, and you start to get an idea. So those things are very important. And so, you know, yes, if a sponsor is investing in an area that I don't think has promise, then that's definitely a red flag for me, because I feel that, you know, if you're promoting a syndication, you should have that buttoned up. So I think that's huge. But what am I looking for now? I'm just really excited. I really think that, unfortunately, with the economy, I think there's going to be opportunity. So I'm really just I'm gathering cash and continuing to network, continuing to look at deals. And what I look for in a deal, it's not really the return on my investment as much. I mean, it has to be, I think, comparable to other deals, but it's more, again, in the person. And can they deliver in the time frame they said they were going to deliver? Do they have good financial prowess? Can they report to me periodically? I mean, I don't need a phone call every day, but can I get quarterly statements? Will they, you know, will they give proper updates? Will they be able to correct their budgets? So these are things that I kind of think are the next things. So my idea is to diversify and kind of invest small pockets mm-hmm. in multiple syndicators and hopefully find one, two, three of them that I really enjoy working with and progress with them. And also, one more point is I really do want to learn more. So I love the aspect of learning, seeing how this happens real time, live, even though I'm not making the decisions, really don't have any input to that, that's fine. But the education value is definitely something worth to me, at least in the short term, mm-hmm, from an LP side.
For sure. And what I really like about your story is, you know, the evolution of it, right? You analyze 150 deals. So anytime you do 150 or something, right, you're going to start getting a little bit better of the field, the markets, what you like, what you don't like. And, you know, a lot of people, they kind of hear something and they think like, okay, South Carolina. Okay. Yeah. Like they say it's great. They said it on Bigger Pockets and like, it must be. So it is. But have they really gone through the process to say like, well, how does South Carolina compare to Miami? How does Miami compare to Jacksonville? How does Jacksonville compare to, you know, New York City? How does New York City compare to Los Angeles? And, you know, you really kind of took yourself through that process. You know, I always try and tell people like, you know, there's not one way to make $1 million. There's not one way to work out. You can do P90X, you can do all these other things, but until you actually start getting out there and, you know, exercising, right, you're not going to develop your own plan to be like, listen, like I'm a walker. I'm not a runner. I hate running. Right. So you're going to develop your own strategy. You're going to develop your own, investment criteria, what you're kind of looking for. So you're like, listen, I got to meet the guy. I'm not going to invest in anybody that I don't see. I got to have maybe, you know, I'm not as set on returns, but I would like to have a 6 to 7% return on my money. Okay. And these are the markets that I'm looking at, blah, 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 blah. And these are the states I'm interested in. That's your criteria, which is fine. And it doesn't have to be what you heard on the radio. It could be your own investment criteria and it can change from there. But now when you get a deal come across your desk and it's in Texas and you're like, I don't know anybody in Texas. I don't have any boots on the ground in Texas. I've never been to Texas. I don't know anything about Texas. You seem great, but hey, if you know anybody in Florida or South Carolina or whatever, let me know. And hey, maybe they'll do a kickback, or maybe you know somebody that always invests in Texas and maybe you'll kind of dish it out back to them. So that's why I really love your story. Can you speak a little bit about the importance of networking and how it has helped you transition into where you are currently at right now?
Yeah, sure. I had no idea how powerful it was. You hear about it, get out there. And what it does is it really, it's a people business. And you hear people's stories and people connect you with other people and, you know, and people are going to introduce you to other opportunities. There's an educational aspect where there's often a presentation, but it's very casual. You're just meeting with people and you get to, you know, formulate your story and your pitch and identify exactly where you want to go and formulate that, because I'm still in that infant stage where I might invest in Texas, but I need to understand it better and learn more about like why Texas is so great, to use your example. So I think it's something that I've surprisingly enjoyed, and people are just people want to share their stories and their experiences. And I found that, and that it's been just makes you, again, to bring it all back and sort of puts me at ease to really take action, because of there was others who were already doing this successfully.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people would be surprised, if you actually try and reach out to somebody and are genuinely interested and you're a little bit persistent, how far your reach will actually extend, right? I think you and I, we connected, I believe I was on a different podcast or maybe listened to my podcast. I can't remember, but
I
don't even remember actually.
Yeah, so it's like, I think it was like October or something
like
that.
Yeah, no, it was like September. I was like, I don't even been talking to Paul. I was like, I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, okay. I was like trying to think back as far as like, well, when my mom was in town in like December, I remember speaking to them. Actually, yeah, no, I spoke to them then too. I was like, I think it goes date back a while. But yeah, I was talking to you about a website, and then you helped a lady with a website, right? You gave her some, you added value to her.
Thank you for reminding me about that. That was tremendous. So what I learned there is by sharing some information about how you can hire a third party to do a website for you. And there's many ways to do that. I was able to share that information with somebody I networked with, and she's one of my closest allies right now, always looking out for me, always sending me. I feel like that was a pivotal point in expanding my network. So thank you again.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I mean, like, it's just,
it was amazing. I mean, so like, what I really loved about it is I brought the point up to you and you're like, okay, this is what you do. Okay. Here's the name. You send it a name, give her a link to my website. And it was just so clean and simple and easy to follow. And she listens, she puts, the low in low tech, she's got a nice website. She was looking to update it, she's also a college housing investor as well. And I know she was looking to upgrade that. So it was really helpful. I know she really welcomed it and looked into it. And I think she's actually upgrading her business right now.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think it's important to emphasize that, you know, everybody has value. You know, everybody has value. Now, if you're looking to get into real estate or multifamily, you know, it's all about leverage, right? That's what real estate is. Leverage, leverage, leverage. And so I gave Paul some information that he was like possibly interested in. He was like, oh, I helped him out. I provided to him. I told him, you know, use this information to give it to another lady. He gave it to another lady, and then that helped him formulate a relationship. And now she's, you know, mentoring him and as an advisor or whatever have you be. But, you know, the power of actually adding value. So don't come to the table empty handed. I always tell people, like, know what you want, right? Like, if I say, like, Paul, how can I help you? And Paul says, I don't have anything. It's like, okay, well, like, I'm out, right? If you say, like, hey, leave me a quick review on iTunes, or hey, do you know anybody that is selling condos in Seattle? No, I don't. But you put that out there. Now I know. And then if maybe a week from now I run into somebody and they're like, I got this great deal in Seattle. Oh, actually, Paul is, you know, trying to get in Seattle, and I'll connect, right? And now if I'm connecting people, I'm adding value. And I didn't know that lady. I didn't know that lady, right? So, like, recommend a podcast. Share something of value. Don't be just somebody that's regurgitating the news. Have an opinion. You know, be somebody that's actually adding value within to this space. And, you know, you coming on today, like, you're adding value. And this might be your first podcast on as a guest.
This is my first time, yes.
We popped your cherry. Woohoo! But, you know, it's like, just get out there and add value. And that's going to usually, you know, open up tenfold. So I really appreciate you sharing your story today. I really love it. And I wanted to, for people to hear this and, you know, really see that it is possible to start getting in there, narrowing it down. And I know a lot of people out there are in the accumulation phase of podcast knowledge, but it's important to always act on that knowledge. And then from there, the world will open up there for you. So with all that said, I'd like to close it out with the three closing questions that we have. First question, Paul, is what is your favorite book to regift?
So my favorite book to request is The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. Yes, that's one of the reasons we also connected. That was a great book. I know you've enjoyed that. I'm reading another book right now, The Wealthy Gardener by John Sfork. That's a pretty good entrepreneurial spirit book that talks like life lessons with from a father's perspective to a son. And so that's pretty interesting.
Come
as well.
On, now I'm going to have to read that. Come on. All right. I'm going to actually write this. Say that again.
The Wealthy Gardener by John Sfork.
Wealthy Gardener. Okay. All right. Very cool. Second question is, what is a pain point or a weakness you face right now in your business?
I think it's just deal flow. I think I need to increase deal flow. I'm hopeful that in the near future there will be more opportunities. So I'm just going to continue to do what I'm doing, networking, analyze, and get invited to presentations that I can continue to analyze and therefore invest more. Diversify my portfolio.
For sure. Deal flow is key. Third question is, if you were to travel abroad anywhere for 1 year, where would it be and why? Or live abroad. Did I say travel? I meant to say live abroad. Live abroad.
Okay. Portugal. Portugal. I've always wanted to go there. I love the city of Lisbon, and I love the Algarve down below by the beaches down there. I'd love to go there.
Wow. It's awesome. Great. Very cool. Yeah. I've never been to Portugal. Never been to Spain, been to a couple places in Europe, but yeah, now I hear good things about Portugal for sure. All right, Paul, what is the best place for people to get in contact with you?
Thank you. Yeah. If someone wants to reach out to me, they can reach out to me at paulhensler.rei@gmail.com. Send me an email. I'll be happy to respond.
For sure, guys. And I highly recommend you guys getting in contact with this guy because he's a very giving and caring person, and he's got a great story, and he's very open and receptive. And I'm sure if you're listening to this and you're trying to get into the real estate industry, you know, really, you can learn a lot from Paul. So, Paul, with all that said, thank you very much, my friend, for being on the show. It's always a pleasure speaking with you, and we'll catch you on the next go round.
Thank you, Matthew. Appreciate you having me.
Thank you guys for listening to today's episode. I hope you guys got some tremendous value there from it. But if you guys are looking to take your real estate career to the next level and looking to partner with us on your next real estate deal, please head on over to www.matthewbaltzell.com and sign up for the newsletter, and you'll get our latest deal flows and our up-to-date real estate investing information, tidbits, and tips there for you. All right, guys. Catch you on the next go around. Peace.